So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to our weekly Marriage Hour here on Trending. We're going to unpack so much surrounding marriage, including a future saint I mentioned to you recently whose path to canonization has been opened and we're moving in that direction. She died just in the late 1990s. Her child is only about 26 years old, who, after her life-saving decision, gave birth to a baby and died the next year. Why is this woman going to be a saint? What does this have to do with marriage? Well, there are incredible letters that she wrote back and forth with her husband, Carlo. And they are wisdom for the journey of marriage, but any vocation. You don't have to be married to join us during this Marriage Hour. We'll continue our virtue series on the cardinal virtue of fortitude today. We'll discuss everything from, is acting in anger sinful? And we'll also unpack a lot having to do with fear and whether or not fear excuses us from sin. So stay tuned as we unpack so much more during our Marriage Hour. Joining me now today on the feast day of St. Padre Pio is the San Francisco Archdiocese Archbishop Salvador Cordiglione. And he has an incredible story having to do with St. Padre Pio and a family encounter that they had with this great saint. A little bit about St. Padre Pio, if you don't know much about him. He lived in the 20th century. He's known as a saint that defies so much of what we ponder, including gravity, not just as humans, but people of faith. We know that he had the stigmata. He's reported to have bilocated, levitated, and even healed by touch. He's also known to be an incredible confessor. And joining me now again is a San Francisco Archbishop, Archbishop Salvador Cordiglione, to share a little bit about your story, Archbishop, and your family story with this great St. Padre Pio when you were just a little boy.
Yes, thank you, Timory. Yes, it was, I remember this well. My mother had been in and out of the hospital. She had, in those days, they called them growths on her vocal cords. I guess that meant they were cancerous tumors, which they would operate and remove them, and then they would come back. That happened, I don't know, two or three times. So my mother was starting to get very worried. Her aunt and uncle, that would be my grandmother's sister and her husband, were going to Italy, and they wanted to go to San Giovanni Rotondo, and they requested a visit with Padre Pio, and they told him the situation and asked him to pray for their niece. And he asked them to send him a picture of her four children, so myself and my three siblings. And they did, and he prayed, and my mother's, the growths on the vocal cords went away, and they never came back after that. So I think there's a clear attribution to Padre Pio's intervention there that helped my mother stay healthy up to the day she died at 90 years old.
What was the significance to you that he asked specifically for a photo of you four children, not just mother? What does this have to do with motherhood and what kind of we see in our culture today?
Well, being a well-formed my mother's utmost concern was her four children and what would happen if she had to die, and who could step in to take care of us and provide for my father. So that was what was worrying her the most of all. And so I would imagine that's the message that my great aunt and great uncle conveyed to Padre Pio. I sometimes wonder what he saw when he looked at that picture, if he had one of those moments of foresight. But at any rate, that's what he asked. And he had a letter, he dictated a letter to his English-speaking secretary, an American woman, who typed out a letter and then sent it back to my mother.
Wow. Now, does your mom still have that letter? Have you seen it?
I've seen it. You know, pray, now we need St. Anthony's intervention. My mother kept that letter safely guarded up until the day she died. We can't find it now. We've scoured the house that my parents lived in and we all grew up in, and we can't find it. It's not where I thought she had left it. But I do recall seeing the letter, yes.
Oh, that's so neat. My mom actually received a letter from St. Mother Teresa, and we do not have it because it was in the shuffling of the crisis pregnancy center that she had helped open. It had originally been with the center, and then a couple took one of the books with all of, like, kind of the history of the center, and in the process, the letter has gone missing, so I don't remember seeing it. I know that I was just a baby, but it's pretty incredible to have these encounters with the saints. I think so often, Archbishop, it's easy for us to think of the saints as so distant, so far off from us in our lives. But as you've just shared in your own life, there was a miracle that occurred within your own family with the healing of your mother through the intercession of the living Saint Padre Pio, looking at a photo of you and three of your siblings and praying for your mother's healing. It's phenomenal. If you're just joining us now, it's a feast day of St. Padre Pio, and with me is a San Francisco Archbishop, Salvador Corleone, and we're talking about the healing of his mother after St. Padre Pio had been praying for her and the healing of the growths on her throat that ended up going away after multiple operations. They would come back. Now, how did this then lead you, Archbishop, to a special devotion, perhaps, to St. Padre Pio?
Well, he was always, and I was aware of him growing up, but I grew to be closer to him when I went to Rome to do my, first I did my seminary studies, and then I returned to do graduate studies there and saw the great devotion that the Italian people have to him, which it's, maybe this is one of his miracles, how he could unite Italy. You know, Italy is very regional. There are just vast cultural differences between from one region to another, especially the south and the north. You know, there's Sicily, where my grandparents came from. There's Lombardy up in the north. Milan is the capital there. There's Calabria, the tip of the boot. Puglia, where Padre Pio was from, which is the heel of the boot. And then there's the region up, say, Venice or in Bologna. These vast differences. And there's not... now there's more in common, but even the dialects are so different one from the other. But one thing I noticed, wherever I went in Italy, there was always a picture of Padre Pio, and all Italians have a great devotion to Padre Pio. So I saw how holiness can, you know, unite people that might otherwise be divided among themselves.
I remember when I first heard about St. Padre Pio, it was a little challenging for me to hear things such as, well, he bilocated and he levitated, and even healing by touch, because we don't hear a ton about physical healings in this way, so immediate. How do we reconcile as people of faith when we hear stories about St. Padre Pio, who lived in the 20th century, as you've told the story, your own family's encounter with him, how do we kind of reconcile the closeness and time and proximity of the saint while also hearing things that are unthinkable in a sense to us?
Yes, well, these are our classic signs of holiness, of really extreme advanced holiness. And Padre Pio seemed to have all of those signs of bilocation and levitation and stigmata, being able to read people's souls, you know, so many stories about him as a confessor. He had all of those qualities. And of course, that doesn't happen without great suffering. You know, it's only great suffering that can bring about such great signs of holiness. You know, he died in 1968, and so I was alive then, obviously, and I remember how the world was changing so quickly and so radically in those years. And I think that God must have given us this very special saint, unique, really, with all those marks of holiness, right at a time when the world needs a witness like that, and in time with this canonization to hold him up and recognize his great holiness, we certainly need his example and his intercession with what we're experiencing the world nowadays.
You're listening to Relevant Radio, Trending with Tim Ray. We're with the San Francisco Archbishop, Salvador Corleone. Something that just stood out to me about what you said about St. Padre Pio and kind of reconciling his bilocation, his levitation, all of these things that we hear that he's reported to have done, and you mark it as a sign of holiness, but also the awe and the mystery of our faith, and to have this sign of humanity so perfectly united to our Lord, that this is what the human person was capable of. It makes me think in many ways about how the church, in her wisdom over the last 100 years, 200 years, has made two proclamations about the Assumption of Our Lady and the Immaculate Conception, these things that have truly helped us, I think, to ponder yet again how important it is to see and have hope in humanity and the perfection of a human person through the grace of Jesus Christ. How has St. Padre Pio's life continued to unfold for you in a similar type of inspiration?
I think about his steadfast, fidelity. He was under, so much scrutiny and silenced and what I suppose nowadays we would consider harsh treatment, but I think it's a sign of how seriously the church takes these things and these investigations. But, he never sought out to be a kind of a personality cult or a rebel or to make a name for himself. He accepted all with great patience and great faith. And with so much cacophony in the world today and so much violence and people intolerance people have for not getting their own way, here is a man of such profound holiness and deep insight who had to go through this kind of treatment so the church could ascertain that this was authentic and he was not a fake. But the truth wins out. So we need to imitate that virtue because it's when we know the truth and we live it with virtue, that's how we grow in wisdom and grow in holiness.
When a saint is canonized so recent to their death, but also in the 21st century, it always makes me wonder, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. How do you believe St. Padre Pio relates to what's going on in the church today and what we face in society, especially with the hostility toward Catholicism?
Yes, that was all changing, beginning to change right at the time that he died. And how does it relate to today? Well, the church has, I think it's been going through this for a long time, and it was going through it at the time that he was alive. Seems to be getting more intense. But again, Padre Pio followed the path of humility, of prayer, and fidelity, despite how radically things were changing. And things were changing in Italy too then. So there certainly was a much stronger Catholic culture then than now, but things were changing then also. But he did not lose sight of his love for our Lord. And you mentioned the two Marian dogmas that have been proclaimed infallible by an ex-cathedral statement of the Holy Father, that she is our model and image of what God intends for humanity. And if we follow that path of holiness, then we share in that glorification of our Lord.
That's Archbishop Salvador Cordileone here on Trending with Tim Ray discussing St. Padre Pio and the incredible encounter his own family had with the living saint before he died. Archbishop, thank you so much for joining us. We're following your great work, your profound, prophetic, and bold voice in calling upon our national leaders to stand for their Catholic faith and the pro-life position. So thank you for being an incredible witness for life. And if you haven't already, please follow the Archbishop on Twitter. We'll tag him on Twitter. You can follow us at Timmerie, that's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E, to connect with the Bishop. And also the incredible work that he's doing at the Benedict Institute, that's benedictinstitute.org, for sacred music and divine worship. We'll be right back here on Trending.